This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Planes, trains, and all the must-sees. Joy Drive Travel.
Chris Dyer, good afternoon.
Con, you look great behind that chair. Oh, thanks. Love it for you.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting all these lovely compliments today. I should be doing more of this. Get out of the way.
Push that boy aside.
Who cares what Warren's doing, what travel option is?
Exactly.
You're here, of course, you're the guru every fortnight. All our travel needs are met by the questions that you pose to us, but also giving us update with travel news. So this afternoon.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do a deep dive for you because there is a lot going on at the moment in terms of the travel world. We've got airlines weighing passengers. We've got Bali warnings. We've got romantic destinations in the run-up to Valentine's Day. There's a lot going on.
Can we unwind? Was your first point airlines weighing passengers?
Correct. Should we start with airlines
weighing passengers? Oh, my gosh. I've got a story about that, but it's not to do with an airline, but it's weighing passengers. But let's go.
So, interestingly, Finnair, which is the Finnish national carrier, has, as of Monday, started weighing passengers. It's a voluntary thing, so it's not compulsory, and you're being weighed with your hand luggage. So they have had already apparently 600 volunteers that have agreed to do it, and the key point that they're saying is that the weight of the plane is based on a 5-year-old data. So what they're not happy about the balance of the plane and the amount of cargo that goes in based on this 5-year-old data. So what they're trying to do is by weighing the passenger with their hand luggage is test that data and test if it's right so they've got the balance of the plane correct. I like that thought. I'm skeptical that that's the real reason for it, but I think it's very interesting that 600 people have volunteered to have it done and they got a free luggage tag for their efforts.
Okay. I, like you, am skeptical. I am not sure I don't know. It seems to be like all bundled up with some kind of, 5-year-old data?
And I find it interesting in terms of, is this a soft and safe way to start to think about how weighing passengers is actually then implemented? I've been weighed many times getting onto like helicopters or small planes. That happens frequently because, you know, those planes can only carry a certain amount of weight. Yeah. And have had no issue with that at all.
Yeah.
But I think when you're thinking about it from a potentially being charged more for a seat because you're taking more weight on, I think that's really tricky and difficult area.
Well, that was my story. I was about to sort of say I have been weighed, which is obviously going on a helicopter ride when I was in America going over the Grand Canyon.
Mm.
And they're quite smart because you sort of turn up to the counter and obviously you sort of say, this is my name, I've got a booking, and you don't realise it, but you're standing on this metal plate. 100%. And they're sort of going, oh, yes, you're 78 kilos. And go, hang on, you're pretty good at refereeing me. And as you look down, you realise you're on this big metal plate, which is weighing you. Because obviously, I get it. They've got to get the right proportion of weight on the helicopter.
Yeah, and I've had that happen to me too. It happened in Zimbabwe when we flew over Victoria Falls, and also they wanted to weigh, like I had camera equipment and stuff with me as well. And it's like you have to have everything on your person as you stand on those scales. And I think that's all about safety. I'm skeptical about this one though, and I find it very interesting, and it's a watch this space in terms of what airlines are going to do
all
and
right.
whether they're going
love
to start.
That. So it's Finnair doing that weighing of passengers based on 5-year-old thing, but she's not particularly clear. Okay, what else is happening in the travel world?
So another big one is the Australian government has actually come out with a travel warning to Bali, and that is on account of the upcoming presidential election, which is going to be occurring on the 14th of February. The government is suggesting that they're expecting protests in and around government buildings, which includes the Australian embassy. Apparently 160 million people are forecast to go out and vote, which they're thinking will also create traffic chaos. And they said anybody that is about to head off to Bali, Surabaya, Jakarta, anywhere in Indonesia, you need to be really cognizant of the fact that this is actually occurring. They're also saying they're urging all visitors to Bali to be fully covered with comprehensive travel insurance before departing. And they're saying that your policy needs needs to cover all your medical costs, including emergency treatment and medical evacuation. I think that has a lot to do with the fact that if they're concerned about access to the Australian embassy in terms of process, in terms of protests, that they're just really concerned that if they have to medevac anyone out, they want to make sure that they're able to do so under those kind of medical insurances and expedite anybody that might be in trouble. Really interesting time for Indonesia at the moment, and probably one that we just need to be conscious of if you're about to step on a plane and head over.
Well, it's a very popular destination for Australians, and we do know that it's sort of something that to be mindful of. I know we had a conversation quite a little while back about the importance of travel insurance, and that just reiterates that if you're going to be traveling that part of the world, do not skimp. Just take out travel insurance.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing that I always say is that you must read the fine print. You have got to read the T's and C's. I know it's super boring, but you really do need to, because there are certain policies that will cover you for some things and not for others. And the bit that's underlined by DFAT here is they're saying that it needs to cover all medical costs, including emergency treatment and medical evacuation. So they're the key points to actually look for when you're taking out your insurance.
Good sort of thing to share with anyone. And I'm guessing even though the election is on the 14th, which is next week, potentially is that sort of, there could be a disruption that may sort of not only lead up to it, but afterwards, depending on what the result is.
Correct. This could be an ongoing thing within the So if you've got anything booked within the next couple of weeks, I would definitely consider what you're doing when you're going there, and just make sure you've got that travel insurance before you jump on the plane.
Okay. So that's a travel warning for Indonesia, including Bali. What's next on the travel news?
should we go romance?
Oh, I'm talking about 40th of Feb. It's like, oh, what's that date again? It's just like, well, are you going to guilt me and go, have you sorted something for that date?
Oh, no.
Let's talk romance.
You either love or loathe Valentine's Day, right? Like, I don't think there's really anyone that's in between. I'm probably falling into the loathe camp more than the love camp. But my inbox at the moment is just inundated with travel businesses basically saying, here is the top 20 romantic destinations in the world and da 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 and this, that, and the other. The one that actually caught my eye because it was the number one destination was so out there and unusual was one from Time Out. So Time Out sent their list around of 20 destinations. No Australian or New Zealand destinations actually made the top 20 at all, which is interesting.
So was it Time Out America that did this instead?
So what's
their number one?
Montreal in Canada. Like, I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be somewhere in, you know, Italy or France or a tropical island. Yeah. I just kind of was thinking those obvious things. And then I was like, Montreal. Okay. I like Montreal, but is it the number one most romantic destination to kind of go to? And they, you know, apparently a combination of Canadian confidence and European elegance. And I'm just kind of like, oh, I think you're bigging up this place in a very, very interesting way. Some of the other places on the list I absolutely agree with. They've got Kyoto in Japan, incredibly beautiful. We're about to come into cherry blossom season there. So I absolutely get that. You know, they've got Ljubljana in Slovenia. I think Ljubljana is a really underrated European capital. Very romantic. It's got the best parts of Italy and the best parts of Prague all kind of squished together, and it's absolutely gorgeous. So there's some really good stuff on this list, but yeah, I'm not convinced about Montreal.
Speaking about that place you mentioned that's underrated, is it's just one of those things that obviously people have just missed because they've gone to those big name destinations, but slowly is it picking up in popularity?
I think you're absolutely right that they go to the known first. Yeah. So they go to Prague because I want to go to Prague, and I know that's like supposed to be sensational. So Ljubljana's hard to spell, and it's like in a tiny country called Slovenia, which is kind of sandwiched between sort of Switzerland, Austria, and Italy. And so it's not high on people's lists, but it is a really, it's such a beautiful destination, and it's got the best of all those things without the crowds, which I always love.
Okay.
But I then was like, well, what about Australia? Australia kind of missed out. And we've got some pretty sensational romantic places. And the one that I would point out is a place called Pump House Point, which is on Lake St. Clair in Tasmania. So it is a hotel which is based in a 1940s hydroelectric station that is on the end of a pier in the middle of the lake. So you're surrounded by this kind of glacial water that's then surrounded by this myrtle forest. There's this 19-room boutique adults-only hotel. You wake up, there's mist on the water. absolutely incredible. I think one of the most romantic places you could take anyone in Australia.
Well, that's ticking straight away a lot of boxes for me, which means adults only, which is going to be quiet, mm-hmm. which is kind of nice when you want to get away from the world. Mist, beautiful hotel, and I'm guessing association straight away with good food that comes with it.
100%.
And a beautiful sort of scenery to sort of enjoy.
And a lot of walking and bits and pieces around in the local nature, but there's also lots of pampering there in terms of spa treatments and all that sort of stuff. So maybe, Con, that's your romantic getaway.
Well, I've never been, and it's piqued my interest because obviously we always forget that how close our neighbours are from across the ditch, if you want to call it that. And it's just like, well, if that's going to be a romantic destination, it's doable.
Very much so. There's another really great one, actually, that I'd also throw onto people's lists, which is called Sapphire. It's a luxury lodge in the Freycinet National Park, and you will wake up to the most spectacular views, one of the most breathtaking and beautiful things. And I think it falls into kind of active romance. Is you can take a sunset kayak watching the sunset as you're kayaking, bird life everywhere, all these magical kind of pinks and colours.
Wow.
It's just phenomenal. That will cost you a pretty penny. It's one of the most expensive places in Australia. But if you want some real indulgence, try Sapphire in Freycinet.
Special occasions, have a bit of money and spoil yourself and the significant other if you want to take with them
too.
Okay, and I'm guessing it's pretty comparable. You sort of always look at the best romantic spots that you have in your mind in Australia, but when we look at worldwide spots, it sort of is pretty much ranked up there. I mean, these spots that we sort of take for granted in our backyard.
Yeah, interestingly, these two are also really put forward by Tourism Australia internationally. Okay. So they're actually, excuse the pun here, but they're pumping them out in terms of these are some incredibly romantic destinations, really interesting experiences for you to have in Australia that you wouldn't necessarily expect, because you kind of got, when international travellers think of Australia, they think of the Harbour Bridge and they think of the, maybe Bondi and the kind of, sun-kissed, Australians, but like showcasing these other elements is just such a way in.
Totally. We catch up on travel news with Lonely Planet's Chris Zai. Chris, what's next on the travel news?
The other one for me is that we are seeing, this is another real indication of some continued recovery of the travel sector post-COVID. This is a long, long recovery for us. We're seeing a lot of airlines announce increased services back into Australia, which is great for prices coming down for us. What's really interesting about this is where they're flying into. So they're flying into other capital cities. So not necessarily Melbourne and Sydney, both. So they've picked Brisbane, Adelaide and Canberra. From late October, American Airlines is going to be announced a daily service from Brisbane to Dallas-Fort Worth. So you can get into North America really easily. So that's going to make that sector really, really competitive. Adelaide has now announced that Emirates is going to resume a daily service from Adelaide to Dubai in late October. That's 4,200 seats flying into Adelaide each week.
Wow.
So that's a huge one for their economy, but also a really good one for anyone that's living in Melbourne thinking, oh, it's really expensive to get out of Melbourne into this. Maybe it's a little bunny hop across to Adelaide and shoot out. And finally, Canberra also is getting another international carrier in Batik Air. They're going to be servicing Canberra to Bali three times a week from June, which is good to see.
Wow, that's interesting, because I'm thinking, as a place, Dallas-Fort, is that a good place to sort of head into America?
Yeah.
As compared to heading to the usual spots would be either LA or maybe even fly longer and go to New York.
So my last trip to New York, I actually did the bunny hop through Auckland. So yep. You can do Melbourne, Auckland straight to JFK in New York, which is fantastic. The other really good entry point is Dallas-Fort Worth, so that you can, because it's kind of it's a big hub that can shoot you out into all other places within North America. So that's a really easy one to kind of get around.
Chris, I've still got a question. I know we've got increased capacity, but was it Turkish Airlines mentioning how they're going to be sort of having more flights going to Istanbul via Singapore out of Melbourne
in
the next couple of months?
Yeah,
that something that's is still on track to happen?
That is absolutely on track to happen. And again, another really good indication of these services coming back into Australia. We always talk about cost of living and how, flights are so expensive.
Yep.
These are the indicators that are telling us that prices are going to come down. And if you're looking to travel in late 2024 or into 2025, and we know as Aussies, we have to plan quite far out, this bodes really, really well for those prices coming down.
Great. Because I know that's been a bugbear. I know travel has really picked up, and I think there was, I read pretty much a sort of report from, I think it was Skyscanner, sort of saying mm-hmm. that the travel trends are still showing it's going to be unabated, regardless of where the prices are at the moment.
Yeah, and we're obsessed with particular destinations still. So, you know, a lot of Aussies are really obsessed with continuing to fly to Europe. Yep. We do want a European summer holiday.
Yep.
That is really very much on our agenda. And we can see that Asia is back in flavour. So we talked about Bali before, but we see really big uptick in Vietnam, Thailand, and even other destinations like Taiwan and the Philippines. Really, really back, popular and back on trend.
Chris, you're the man on the
wealth of knowledge.
The wealth of knowledge, as you always are, every time you join us here every fortnight. So thank you so much for coming in and updating us all the travel news.
Oh, you're welcome.
Chris Dyett from Lonely Planet.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.